The views and opinions of the host and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 18th of October, 2021, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. We are having a What's in the News / open line show today. You can text us on the Guardian Radio text line at 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. That's powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. You can also call us at 323-6232. 325-4316 or 325-4259. We are streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. You can listen on TV as well on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or on Flow, channel 612. Or you can download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. Well, good yawning this morning, and let me tell you, the song that I opened the show with is called The Age of Discovery by Pat Ramming. And listen, if we were ever looking for a national hero, we ain't got to look no further, because there's this play I met by the name of Pat Ramming, who may just be one of our greatest, greatest treasures. That song, The Age of Discovery, is one of the entries and winning submissions for the 1992 quincentennial commemorative CD collection competition. It was a great competition. I haven't been able to listen to the entire album, but thanks to Margot Blackwell and the Joan and Duke Hannah collection, I found a CD of music, and I heard bits and pieces, and I heard the entirety of this track by Pat Ramming that won fourth place. And did you know the first prize in that competition in 1992 was $40,000? Hopefully I'm going to play a little bit more of that track later in the show. I am trying to plan a show where we can listen to songs from that album on Friday, but I just want to read some of the lyrics for you. If you never heard the song before, his lyrics, he says, we waiting like Lucayans for another European to discover us, to discover me. And he says, help me first discover me, waiting for a savior from the sea. Help me discover the power within. I says, that's a beautiful song. And Pat Ramming, you know, has a folk music tradition we don't often hear. We don't often hear it at all, but it's just beautiful. I'm going to say good morning to Pat Ramming, and I'm going to play your song. And I hope the government don't mind, because at the end of the day, it's the government that, I think the government initiated this process, and so the government owns the songs. I hope they don't mind, because I'm going to play them whenever and wherever. Whenever and wherever. Good morning. And I hope we haven't forgotten about the Columbus discussion either. You see, that's part of our problem. We have like this social amnesia where we very quickly forget the things that are uncomfortable, right, to us. That's what you do when things are uncomfortable or painful. You try to forget them. But we cannot forget this discussion, because we have to have this discussion. So I got a couple of texts here. Great show as usual, Ms. Green. We had more antisocial behavior from the Negro community this weekend. First of all, why do you use this word Negro in this context? Because, I mean, I could find a context in which it is appropriate. But yes, I agree with you in one sense that we had a lot of antisocial behavior this weekend. For me, I had to drive the latter half of this week. I had to drive myself, and I drive on the weekend. And let me tell you, buddy, there's something wrong with us. We have a problem. So individually and collectively, we have a problem. We have a big attitude problem, and it manifests itself most on the road in our driving behavior. And while most people, Aaron just running on again. First of all, if you listen to the stories I collect from off the road, you don't need cable, you know? Second of all, this whole driving behavior and culture thing is very important. If you haven't noticed it by now, I'm certain there is a link between driving behavior and our adherence to social protocols, to COVID social protocols. There is a big link. And we have a big, big problem. The same way that people don't like to wait in the corner at the intersection until they have the right of way to leave the intersection, is the same way that people don't like to hold a spot in the road or on the line. They won't push up on you and push past you as if a rule hasn't been clearly established about how we are going to interact with each other. And I want to say good morning to the several people, particularly women, who have, quote unquote, pushed up on me in the last few days. I want to say, first of all, I'm sorry. I am the one who is sorry, because I couldn't figure out how to accommodate you. And I was trying, but the fact that you refused to talk to me, acknowledge my presence, despite looking me in my eyes as you inch closer to me, it's me with the problem, and I couldn't figure out how to tell you or how to remove myself from your presence, which is sort of difficult to do, because if I'm like literally ordering food, I'm not going to move out of the way so that you could, you know, look into the cashier's face, because I'm the one who's ordering food. So I want to apologize to all of you, especially the woman who I turned around and shocked her suddenly by saying, did you know I was gay? I just wanted to warn you in case you weren't aware. I mean, and guess what, guys? It didn't even work. Like, I thought that would work, but that didn't work either, you know? And so what I had to do was I had to look the cashier in the face and tell her, listen, I'm going to stand 6 feet away from you and her so we could continue doing this, and I hope you could hear me from that distance. Like, that's what I have to do. You know, I was in the food store on Friday, and this young lady with beautiful pink hair, like, that's how I noticed her in my peripheral vision. She had bright pink hair, and she came so close to me, I had to ask if we were cousins. I said, are we cousins? Oh, because, you know, and I thought she would have been shocked and taken a few steps back. Listen, the woman took umbrage with me, asking her why she's so close to me, and then decided to stand her ground that she was not going to move. And we got a big problem in this town. And guess what? The problem is, you think the problem is the driving behavior and the lack of adherence to COVID protocols. But that ain't what the problem is. The problem is our unwillingness to use the tools that we have available to us to solve very simple problems. And so I want to turn to my left, ain't nobody in this room with me, and ask the Royal Bahamas Police Force, where are you? And what are you doing? And why is it that ordinary citizens can't rely on you to enforce basic traffic controls? You see, because in the same way, every day I'm asking myself, where are the authorities? Where are the people who are responsible? I see you call, I come in. Where are the people who are responsible, right? And why can I not rely on them to do their jobs? Why am I a customer in an establishment at the point where people are prepared to fight me because I'd like to maintain my 3 to 6 feet? People want to fight you because they don't know you, but they think they have a right to be under your left arm. Now, the response I've gotten from a lot of people about these situations is that I am too polite. That you, in fact, Ms. Green, you are the problem. People have suggested to me that I should turn and call on people when they refuse to leave my space after I ask them. Some people have said, look, you just guys start fighting. I could be honest with you. That's not the right way to go. Can't be the right way to go. And certainly not for Aaron Green. I'm not going to tell you why. Because when I go and I stand before the magistrate on the matter, and the magistrate says, Ms. Green, I need to ask you why or how could someone like you that supposed to have sense and critical thinking skills and spatial awareness skills, right? Like, how could you not figure out a better way to deal with this situation than physical violence or assaulting someone? That's what the judge is going to say to me. And in fact, I was involved in an incident in March 2020 where a woman that I know but had not spoken to, interacted with in over 10 years, spat on me. And she spat on me in a restaurant. And she spat on me with her child, who is the son of a friend and family friend of mine. And so when everybody was telling me, oh, you should have just licked her down in the road and show her what time it was, I was explaining to them that not only do I not like jail, I don't have any time in my life to be playing up in jail. And what I explained to the young ladies who worked in the restaurant, who said to me, boy, I'd never let that happen. You think she's going to get away with spitting on me? I explained to them that, first of all, I'm sure one or two of you have children, and you're currently in a minimum wage job. You do not have the time, the energy, or the resources to be fighting anybody because they spit on you. You don't need to lower yourself to their level, but more importantly, you have responsibilities in your life that are greater than dealing with the idiot that spat on you. Now, see, this COVID thing, though, is a matter of life and death. COVID is a matter of life and death. And somehow we're going to have to figure out how we're going to get through this pandemic together with the respect necessary for us to live with each other. We have to figure out how we're going to moderate our behavior individually and collectively to be able to make this thing work. And at all levels. At all levels. Because if I tell you I watch a red place cross over Hawkins Hill on Sunday on their red light, and they didn't turn left on red. They went straight over Shirley Street to Dowswell Street. On a red light, for no reason, on a Sunday morning. We have to figure out how to moderate our behavior, Bahamas. Our lives depend on it. I see you there, caller. Producer, let's go to that caller. I see you there. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
This is Dr. Weiss along with you, Aaron Pretty Eye Green.
Good morning, Bremen. How you doing?
Oh, thank God for what it is.
But look here, I'm glad you called my eyes pretty today, because if you could see the fury in my eyes.
Don't worry about that. You know, to cough or spit on anybody is nastiness. So I'm glad, you know, you have enough sense.
Yeah, that's not the right thing to do.
Yeah, to drop to that level. You know?
Yeah.
And even your enemy, you know, if you have distance in you, you even won't spit or cough on your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But I'm going to make a couple of points before I make my other point, right?
Yes, sir.
The lady in which you told that you were gay,
yeah,
she looked at it as if so. Oh, she a happy.
She had no happy look on her face. She looked like she wanted to fight me. What's your next point?
Don't worry about that. Thank God you're observing situation and you know where to go and how to go and how to go around and stuff like that.
Yeah, man.
That's being decent.
And we need to teach our children. See, we need to prepare them, create an environment for them to grow up in so that they could understand that there's nothing anybody could do to them that could diminish or take away their divinity.
And the principle in which they have.
Yes, and their integrity, nothing.
Integrity, right.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, but what I want to say, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Some years ago, I'd been to a school for the blind in Rochester, Michigan. I got a CNI dog.
Okay.
And the police took it from me, you know, because I never supposed to tell the police anybody what it's supposed to do, what it were able to do.
Uh-huh.
The people who taught me with the dog said told me 80% of my life depend on it.
Yeah.
Now, you know how some ignorant Bahamian people go, they would hit it with stones or stuff like that, and they would try to get at them, but it was controlled. I had to do is speak to it, you see? So the police said, I'm taking it from me. But my point is, some dogs used to come on my porch and stuff like that and hang out, right?
Uh-huh.
I would call the neighbor's dog, of course.
Yeah.
I would call the police. They would tell me, call the human society, right?
Yeah.
I would call the human society. They would give me some place to call. And the people never come to pick up the dogs, but they're getting the public money to be controlling those dogs in the neighborhood.
I got you, Graham. It's bad. It's poor. Listen, I got another caller on the line, but I understand what you're saying. What you're saying is that we have some systems that are collapsing, and the people who are responsible don't understand the importance of those services in the communities they're supposed to serve. And animal control is one of those things. Thank you very much, Bremen. Caller, you're on the clock.
Aaron Green.
Good morning. How you doing?
Since I was sick, I ain't going to take my shot and everything. Better now.
Good.
So how you doing?
I'm good.
You're protecting yourself. I don't want you to get...
Absolutely.
You got the shot?
No, I ain't get the shot yet. Do you know where I is? Home in my bed. Not right now, but if I ain't here, that's where I is.
Aaron, why don't you go take that shot?
I hear you.
But good afternoon, morning to your producer. Aaron, what are we talking about?
It's an open line, but you know what I want to talk about? I'm talking about what's in the news, the Family Island COVID outbreaks.
Okay, before you leave me there, I want to talk about this. They have a phenomenal convention in next month.
Yeah.
My nomination for Dwayne Sand to be the leader.
Okay.
I said early because Dwayne Sand and Michael Pintard. Deputy.
Mm-hmm.
But I will wish the opposition leader do what my greatest prime minister did when he lost the 1992 election. He resigned in honor.
Yeah.
And move on. And I hope it,
you hope the minister follows the same trend.
No, catch me.
No.
The House of Assembly coming up on the 27th.
Yes.
I would hope with my in my new prime minister capacity, Dr. Minister do the best thing. Resign. And they have to pick somebody in their own there now.
You mean who's a viable candidate?
No. Who are in parliament now for the FNM?
Not many. Adrian Gibson, Michael Pintard, Irem Lewis, Adrian White.
I got you. Michael Pintard, Irem Lewis.
That's who you going for?
Yes. The official opposition leader.
In the House?
In the House, of course.
All right. And Dwayne Sands is leader of the party?
Definitely, James. Well, you know, you can't have an outside leader of the body. You got to pick. Well, if that's going to be the case, Micah Pinta got to be the leader of the body.
I mean,
the body should be always be inside.
So you're saying that the same person who's leading in the House, the same person. Okay, so you're saying that the leader
the
in the House.
Aaron, the representative in the House should be the leader.
I don't know. See, that's an interesting discussion for me, right?
I have a problem with that because remember. If you know history, Tommy Turncrest was outside.
Yeah, he's the leader of the party, but not in the House.
Right.
Yeah.
And you saw the ruckus that occurred if you go back to history.
Yeah, but see, this is, so for me, I think the ideal situation, right? The ideal situation is a leader and a chairman who are separate and not in the House, and a leader of party business in the House. Three separate individuals. To you, so that the party members and citizens generally who are not a part of the administrative level leadership in the party, that now they have a degree of power by separating the powers of those three people, right?
There would be a powerful opposition.
Because the chairman should be holding the leader of the party to account. And... Okay.
You're talking to the chairman of the FNL?
Any party. But if the leader of the party is also the leader in government in the House, without a strong chairman, the leader could do whatever he want. Right?
Right.
So I would prefer a chairman who is separate from the leader of the party and a leader of the party who is separate from the leader in the House.
Okay, you're talking about that chairman in the House?
No, outside the House.
Outside the House.
Yeah,
the chairman, hold on. The chairman outside is going to get it. The chairman outside, doing, I think they have a convention at the end of November, November 27th.
So, okay, let me give you an
example. He need to go.
Let me give you an example. Fred Mitchell is now the chairman of the PLP. But he's also a cabinet minister, right?
Right.
As a cabinet minister, he serves under the pleasure of the PM.
Of course.
But he's also the chairman of the party.
Right.
So if there's nothing to mediate or cause the chairman and the leader of the party to moderate their behavior, they're almost uncontrollable if they're working together. You see what I'm saying?
You'd rather the FNM chairman and now opposition to work together.
No. What I'm saying is that the leadership, the appointment and the leadership structure is very important because it's one of the ways that you can, it's one of the ways or the tools that can be used to moderate the behavior of unscrupulous leaders.
The minutes is very important to lead that.
No, it don't have nothing to do with minutes. We could go. You see, John Quest, man, you could go. We ain't worried about minutes. I'm talking about leadership generally. And in this instance, I'm hoping when the FNM vote, that they vote in a chairman that is separate from the leader in the House. Who is, in fact, a chairman that's not in the House at all?
I just say you want a chairman.
A leader of the party.
You want a chairman outside.
Yeah.
To accommodate inside.
Well, no, not to accommodate, but to hold them to account.
But that's accommodate, hold them to account.
No, see, that's political talk. They're two different things. I got to go. I got another call on the line.
All right, but the point is.
Yeah.
their election is going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, it is. I hope we get a look at it. I hope we get to see inside it.
At the end of the day, Dr. Sam, play a wider role.
Yeah.
Have a good day.
Thank you. I got to go. I really hope we could look inside it, because when the FNM party said that they were promising us governance in transparency, honesty, and accountability, I wondered how were they going to be able to do that, and they wouldn't even let us take a glance inside their party. And so this will be a clear indicator of whether they understand the principle upon which they rested their campaign last time, whether they understand the principle upon which they're critiquing this new administration, and whether they understand that this is the audition, and this is the way that we see whether they know how to govern or not. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron Green.
Good morning. How you do?
No, fine. Nobody has mentioned this yet as a comorbidities. People who are chronic smokers, either weed or cigarettes. You ever see the CAT scan of somebody lungs? It's not a black tar. And alveolized and bulky, it's covered in tar. I would imagine if you're covered, trying to breathe, and it's tar mixing up with that mess, and it would cause a chaos.
Do you think...
So you need to watch out for people who are smokers.
Why you have to watch out for them?
Because... You have a better chance if you're not a smoker. If you're a smoker, your lungs are full of black tar.
No, but I mean, what you mean, do we have to watch out for them? Saying that they are now in a vulnerable category, in a high-risk category?
Yeah, because their lungs are full of black tar from that.
Have you seen...
tobacco and weed.
I got you. Have you seen any data coming from the U.S. or coming from from the CDC, the WHO, or from our Ministry of Health indicating stats...
I would think if your lungs are not clear,
hold on. I know what you and I can presume, but what I'm asking is, have you seen any data or any suggestions?
Can you imagine a smoker? Have you seen a smoker lungs?
Certainly the point that you make is sound, that people who smoke should consider themselves in the high-risk category.
As vulnerable coughing, and they're allowed to scarred, but all that coughing, and get back. Now, what is new to us, right? General Colin Powell is dead, and he's fully vaccinated. And he's at the best hospital in the world, and they can save him. So, I mean, that vaccine may be wearing off.
Well, we have no idea. We have no idea, and we can't speculate.
No, he wasn't vaccinated. Fully vaccinated. That's on the news.
Yeah, no. I get that. I'm not discounting that. What I'm saying to you is... that we can't determine why he died.
No, they said complication from COVID-19.
Right, but I got you.
No, so why? He was in shape. He was at the water weed. That's what the president
told. Okay, so pause.
I didn't save him.
I got you. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Here's the thing with COVID, right? We can't say with any certainty that he died because of the vaccine, or he died because of COVID, despite the vaccine, or if he died because of a condition that he developed while he had COVID due to the vaccine. We can't say any of that. But what we do know is this, is that when medical professionals say the vaccine is safe, what they mean is with all vaccines, there's a small percentage of chance that you will have a detrimentally adverse effect from the vaccine, but it's a very small chance, right? They say that doesn't mean the vaccine is safe. That's one part of the conversation that hasn't been very clear. When they say the vaccines are completely safe, what they mean is in every vaccine, there's a very small percentage of chance that you will not be safe, but we all take that risk anyway. Caller, you're on the clock.
Yes, sir. Good morning to
all. Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Not bad. You know, I'm concerned about the press, right? Not holding the PLP accountable, you know, for calling for an early election, right? And after being obliged with an early election, they point the finger at ministers for calling an early election.
Boy, you know what I'm gonna say there. What your Grammy tell you? If the cheering them jumping out the tree, you gonna go follow them and jump out the tree?
No, but the media should hold them to account for it.
Well, you know, I think okay.
That's my issue.
I think that the media should hold the whole political class and political culture to account for engaging in politics as if it's not very, it's not actually real and it don't really matter, for engaging in these political campaigns without actually acknowledging the real impact and weight of what it is they're doing. For instance,
seems like the PLP is still in campaign mode.
All of them are.
You know,
But what I'm saying is, don't ascribe it to the PLP alone. Yes, this is the new administration.
I understand that, you know, but they accuse ministers of being in the campaign mood and, you know,
yes,
taking photos.
But let's me and you, let's me and you take the discourse higher than that, right? Let's have a wider discourse, and because there's lots of things we could talk about. We could talk about how, I think it is one of the MP for either North Andrus or North Eleuthera, released a constituency press statement recently, but he did it using the party paraphernalia, right? We could talk about how in all of the preparation and training that we presume that these candidates do to enter the halls of governance, they still can't seem to make the transition from politics to governance. And you could understand why they find it difficult to make the transition, because the party themselves, the established expert and learned politicians, refuse to make the transition from politics to governance.
You know, what I hear, right? They refuse to do what the PLP is doing. The PLP, like, they need monologues, and the media's picking up monologues, and these people are not taking any questions from the media or the public.
Well,
the time we get to the town hall meetings, I would like to ask the PLP.
No, we need something more sophisticated than a town hall meeting.
I mean, where people like myself could put questions to these people, not rely on the media, because we can't trust the media.
Right, but it isn't just them. See, there's a little trick that people do, right? I had this meeting. I waited a year and almost a half to have a meeting with Oika, and to deal with a situation, right? And by the time almost a year and a half later, I get to sit down with the official meeting with IRCA and the service provider. The service provider open up their folder and say, "So please tell me what we're here to talk about today."
You
see the point that I'm making, right?
I understand that.
That
I need you.
We need to prepare.
Ask him the PRP. What are their details on the PPPs on the building of
right
hotels,
now it's something
hotels,
I got you
hospitals
I
right?
got you
as well as the insurance on NHI. I don't want to hear about we got to protect these jobs like they did with the number man. Anytime it's for the public interest, they trying to protect some slave-based
job. I got you. Listen, and I hear you saying you need me, but here's what I need from you. And you could end the call. Here's what I need from you. I don't want you, come back and cuss me or ask me for $5, because it can cost plenty. We need to create mechanisms, organizations, and institutions to do these things. In the U.S., the government don't just govern itself. It don't just behave. It ain't like Aaron Green, who has behaved because I scared to go to jail and I scared the old people pinching me and I don't want to go to purgatory and hell. That's not how they operate. In the U.S., the country that we say that we're modeling and we pretend to be like, private citizens and civil society invest their money, their time, and their effort into creating mechanisms to provide oversight for these processes and to create a space to interrogate parties and administrations on their plans and policies and promises. We have to step up to the plate. And I can say in this instance, we can stop blaming the government, because they're doing a very good job of showing us where their deficiencies lie. We don't need a meeting with them to figure out where the problems sit and the deficiencies are. We could do that on our own. And we get to some of these texts. Good morning. None of the COVID-19 stats show Rumkey. Did the former government sell it and forget to tell us? That's a very good question, along with the question of the mysterious case of the mutilated money that hopefully we can get to in a minute. Good morning. What is with those rent-me scooters all over the pavement out west? Are they paying for that space? If I try to put up a sign anywhere, I have to get permission and in some cases pay. Are they paying rent to government? Remember, Treasury broke and VAT going down by 2%. I haven't quite seen them, but what I want to make sure is that they are not hindering disability or mobility access for disabled people on the sidewalk. It's not a matter of whether it's creating a problem for you throwing your car on the sidewalk, but for the people who need it most. All right, my audience, that's the time for the break. When I get back from the break, I'm going to get through these texts and talk a bit about the Family Island outbreaks and our allocation of resources and the mysterious case of the mutilated money. Stay tuned to Garden Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
What happened to you? You look like you lost your paycheck.
Man, I just realized I got scammed out of a bunch of money. They said I won this contest and just needed me to send them some money so I could collect. I mean, to expedite something. Or was it to smooth the process?
Man, you're smarter than that. Protect yourself against scams and fraud by following these tips. If you know you didn't enter a competition, you can't win. Never pay to receive a cash prize. If you're being asked, you're being scammed. Check trusted internet sites for verification of information given to you. Do not give your banking details to people you don't know. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. Monitor your bank account regularly for any questionable transactions. Get more information at GetMoneySmartBahamas.com.
Make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The one, the two, four, one, two. The count depends on you. So tell Teddy to go double up. Mark it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock with Aaron Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
The Central Bank of the Bahamas invites students in grades 4 through 12 to compete in the Get Money Smart Bahamas video essay competition. Students must produce a 3 to 5-minute essay sharing their views on the following topic. The Bahamian economy is an ideal model for digital financial services. Get a parent or guardian permission to share the link to your essay with us on social media and have your entry judged for cash prizes in either the primary school division, junior high, or senior high school category. Essay submissions must be received by October 22nd, 2021. For more information, visit GetMoneySmartBahamas.com. Or see our post on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The one, the two, four, one, two. The count depends on you. So tell Ted to go tell below. Mark it down on your calendar. 2021. This one's for everyone.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You are on the clock with Aaron Green, and we have got so much to talk about. It's in the break just now. I saw this story, and I just want to say, listen. Good morning to BAIC. I want to talk about this story, but I want to do so in a respectful manner. So I just want to say, we see you, Anton. We're glad that you receive the justice that the courts say that you deserve. I don't know where I can get this little $15 to pay you from, because it seemed like all this guy pay you for one person's mistake. But have mercy on us, Anton, have mercy on us. But we can get back to that on another day. Another quick note, I want to thank the volunteers from the Rotary Group who had been volunteering for with the vaccination centers. I want to thank them for the hard work and commitment they had. And I want to ask them to continue volunteering. We really appreciate your service. We appreciate the risk that you took going out there to support this service, and we ask you, for the sake of the people, to please continue providing the government with this vital and necessary service and support. It is well appreciated by the general public. Thank you. And thank you to whoever organized the vaccination volunteer appreciation luncheon this weekend. Thank you very much. Let's get to these texts. Some more texts. Text says, good morning, Miss Green. How are you? Can you hear the difference between Jesus' name and Jesus' name? It's Jesus with a G-E-S-U-S. Jesus with a J is our Lord and Savior and soon coming King. If you want to hear how to say Jesus' name, listen to the Bob Marley song. They have so much things to say. Or pull up Morgan Heritage song, I Will Wait. You will hear it there also. Thank you, texter. Another text. Hello, Aaron. Just start coughing when they get too close to you. No, man. Brayman pointed out that that is just unacceptable because this is really a matter of life and death. We have to find a different way to do with it. And I can be honest with y'all, that it just is not the right way, and it's not what we should be modeling for our children. But at the same time, adults need to learn how to govern themselves and moderate their behavior, because not everybody is going to tolerate that level of disrespect. Another text, Aaron, things getting worse. I just saw a first. Not only did this white car try to push up on people from Shell gas station on Prince Charles, he came out the gas station, sat in the westbound dual carriageway lane as if he was driving in that lane, in that direction, waiting for traffic to clear so he could join the line going east. How are people so comfortable doing these really weird traffic maneuvers? Where are the police? Well, that's it. You answered the first question with the second question. Another text, boy, Miss Green, I don't know. Spitting on someone is the ultimate form of disrespect. Do you know how much bacteria exists in the mouth? I'm sorry, but I was fighting. Let me paint a picture for you. The child that was with her is the son of a friend, a man who was a friend of mine from my early teens and was like a brother to me, to the point where his sister and his sisters and his mother became like family to me. They were respectful to me. They provided safe space for me in the midst of my advocacy when I was being threatened and stalked and some other people is trying to beat me up, right? And there's no amount, there's nothing that I could have gained from interacting with her in that way. There's nothing that I could have gained that was more valuable than the relationship that I had built and developed with those other people in my life, intimately connected to her and her son who was there on the scene. Nothing. Now, mind you, some people have tried to attack me, you know, and they ain't get away easy. They ain't get away easy at all. But that particular situation was different. And we, if we pray for anything, we pray that we have the strength, the integrity, the ability in these moments to weigh these considerations and make the right decision. That's what we have to pray for. And you see, like, that's what we pray that the police, we pray that for that for the police, that in these moments that they have the ability, the capacity to make the right decision. Another text say, boy, Aaron, disrespect ain't no laughing matter. I agree with you. Good morning. In real countries, they have CCTV and the use of this technology acts as policemen everywhere. There is no fear of the police. I only see action when you talk about a politician. Otherwise, it's a royal runaround until you give up. We are borrowing to pay these underperforming people. Sad. Another text. Good morning, Aaron and Bahamas. I don't believe that musicians and entertainers are idle and waiting for the government to do things for them, but the intervention of government is pivotal in seeing to it that opportunities are made available for musicians and entertainers also. When the principles of hotels, nightclubs, restaurants, bars, lounges, and such entities are seeking to do business in the Bahamas, and their plans are void of live music and entertainment. Then the government must ask the question on our behalf, where's the opportunities in your ventures for Bahamian musicians and entertainers? This goes for local and foreign investors. I agree with you. It's not the government's job to provide a job for musicians, but to create an environment where they are correctly and appropriately centered in the spaces that they are supposed to be in. And my thing is, if people giving out money, they better be going, it can't be going only to the politicians. It can't only be going to the special interest group. Another text, Miss Green, tell that caller don't be telling no one to get vaccinated. Keel that herd mentality to himself, as God is revealing all the lies and subterfuge about the efficacy and science behind the vaccine. Doctor with PhD saying they won't take it, Aaron, don't take no mRNA vaccines. I don't really talk about my medical and health decisions, in particular the vaccine, with anything, because I'm still a queer person, and the world has not been kind to queer people. But I have a right to keep my medical health and information private. I answered because I don't like lying to people. We don't have any reason to lie to each other. But, you know, natural immunity can also lead to herd immunity. See, we got a caller coming in there, producer. I'm going to get one more. Oh, let's get to that caller. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller. I got a couple seconds.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. When you mentioned about the Bahamian artist.
Yeah, yeah.
I see where my granddaughter showed me where the great John Legend is coming at one of our major hotels, right?
Yeah.
I think it should be a place of where and it's time for our local artists.
Uh-huh.
Even for rotation, to have them as the opening act.
Of course.
Because if you're going to pay $1,000 platinum for the ticket, $300, $400 for the regular seating.
Yeah.
To see this artist, right?
Yeah.
Bring up a Bahamian artist to open that show.
In fact,
and I think these things should be put in place because they come all the time.
In fact, I would listen, and I got to go quickly. Thank you. That's a very good point. And I think it's something that we used to do. But you see, John Legend's wife, I think Tegan, hosts a show on Paramount or something called Lip Sync Battle. Imagine if artists, when they came here, did a lip sync battle, Bahamian artists performing Global North and American songs. Imagine if every artist that came here to perform did a project, participated in a project, right? Like the Verve Records project, where they take DJs and pair a DJ with an artist and a song, and they remix, revive the song. Imagine if a foreign artist and a Bahamian artist make a song, and every year we put together an album of da-da-da-da greatest hits. And all the young artists and musicians you could bring in there. Because let me tell you, you may not know it, but foreign artists are even more impressed by our local talent than the people they wake in with. Every time they come here, they stand up. Somebody has shocked the life out of them, and they want to perform with them. Don't forget how Michelle Montano performed the Garland song at the first Carnival Music Masters competition event. Another text, hi, I was concerned with those mysterious scooters out west as well. What's up with them? Good morning, Aaron. Great discourse as usual. Please, can we, the listeners, be just for one day, probably Mondays, be spared from these chronic callers? They know who they are. The same six or seven of them calling every Guardian radio show all day. It's annoying. They make us switch stations. Okay, I feel you. So maybe, like, if I do a day that's just for callers and even I minimize what I have to say, then they feel like there's a space for them and we're not cutting them out of the conversation. Another text, good morning. I don't see how you can get COVID from someone standing behind you. Okay, then, maybe you don't know how air works. That's okay. You could go on YouTube and find a video. Great show as usual, Miss Green. If the government was to give you $1 billion because you are related to Columbus, but you would only get it once the statue is erected, then would you want the statue removed? $1 billion? We erecting that statue. You know what? You know how many Grammys can have a piece of that $1 billion? Great show as usual. I'm starting to think our antisocial behavior is the result of our diets. The chicken, the amount of chicken that we eat, that's a whole show. And then the texter from earlier said, I will refrain from using the word Negro, but you can't say that word either. Another text, Aaron, that's probably why we are seeing a lot of young and middle-aged people dying from complications of COVID-19 because they are chronic smokers. I'd like to see some research on that. That would be great. That's probably, okay, thank you for the text again. Tried sending before you sign off and made a few errors. The flyers going around if you would like, okay. Queens College will be presenting a town hall Zoom meeting tomorrow, Tuesday, October 19th, time 6:30 to 8 p.m. I will post the details for that Zoom meeting, or I will announce them in tomorrow's show. I'm all out of time. I have to go. Thank you, Tex. I appreciate you for sharing that valuable community information about the QC organized COVID-19 Zoom meeting tomorrow night. I'll share the sign-in details tomorrow. It's 11:01. I gotta go. Levon Miller and Unleashed is up next. That means it's gonna be a great, great day. Thanks for texting in. Thanks for calling in. And thanks to Margot Blackwell and the Joan and Duke Hannah Collection for that song, The Age of Discovery by Pat Ramming. Have a great day, Bahamas.